To Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. We are the children of God, and it's God's clear will, clearly, that we run to His throne of grace. His arms are open wide. Hebrews 4:16 tells us, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. God's desire for us is to come boldly unto His throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I think most Christian believers at one point in their life, or maybe in many points, have come to that throne of grace, have we not? You come to the throne of grace. We know we're to go there, right? We know we're to come to the throne of grace. But sometimes we try and bring something with us. See, God doesn't tell us to bring anything with us. He says to come under His throne of grace. And there's one manner in which He wants us to come, and it's written in the Scriptures. It says we are to come boldly. Boldly. Boldly in the Bible, this word, it doesn't mean to be obnoxious. It doesn't mean to be loud even. But what it means is you're complete and frank, open, completely open, completely frank. I have several friends, and I'm sure every fellowship has at least one of those guys that you, after they get done talking, you go, well, tell me what you really think. Right? Because they do. I think Al's kind of like that. Anyway, tell me what you really think. That's great. That's boldness. God's saying, tell me what you really think. Come boldly unto the throne of grace. Let's go to the book of Ephesians, please, chapter 2. I might have said this at the beginning. I send love and greetings, bring love and greetings from my wife Sheila and the believers in the Houston area and throughout all Texas. It's great to be with the brethren here in San Diego, which I think is the Thessalonica of the United States. I'm not kidding. Ephesians chapter 2, and let's begin in verse 17. Chapter 2, verse 17. And came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Ephesians, especially the first three chapters, reveal to us what God has done for us. It's who we are. It's what God has done for us. And one of the things it says that He's done for us is that through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. We are not strangers and foreigners. We're not unknowns. We're not even guests. See, we're of the household of God. See, perhaps you've read the Old Testament or been instructed in some of the things of the Old Testament. In the temple, there was a place in the center of the temple called the Holy of Holies. And inside the Holy of Holies, there were very special things, the tablets of the Word of God, other items like that. And the high priest, one man, the high priest was permitted to go into the Holy of Holies one time per year because the Holy of Holies represented the actual physical presence of God. It represented God's very presence. One guy, the high priest, and he first had to make atonement for his own sins. Then he would go in and make intercession for the children of Israel in the presence of God. One man, one time of year. That's the access that they had to God, personally. See? Jesus Christ came and tore down all of those walls. If we had time, we could read in the book of Hebrews. You might want to read there, chapters 9 and 10. Wonderful revelation about how Jesus Christ, see, became sin for us and all those things that we might enter into that holy place once and for all. See, God's desire is that we come running unto that throne of grace. See, because he has those open arms, and we are not strangers and foreigners. Chapter 1, please. Look at chapter 1. We're going to read a lot of Ephesians this morning, not all of it. But let's start in verse 2. It says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." I would imagine you've read these verses before, and that's a good thing. See? But look at what it says. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings. Every believer, all of us, each one, young, old, in between, we're all blessed with all spiritual blessings. See? I listen to the manifestations as I knew you do. What else does God have to give us? He says he's blessed us with what? All. It's been completed. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings. There's not one thing spiritually that you ever need to acquire. It's already all been done. That's the kind of footing that we stand on when we go to the throne of grace as one who is blessed with all spiritual blessings. Verse 4, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him." Well, who made the decision to make us holy and without blame? God did. It's just part of the new birth. He decided to make us holy and without blame. So when you go to the throne of grace, the only way you can go is holy and without what? Blame. Okay? If you want to carry a sack of bricks up there, okay, with your sin or your doubts or whatever, whatever's in the bag, God doesn't want you taking the bag. See? Because you are holy and without blame before him. This word "before" means in the very presence of. I'm in the very presence of my family. Now I'm right before you. I'm not in the next room. I'm not on a phone hookup. I'm right before you. That is how we come before our Father. And it says we are holy and without blame before him in love. That's what he did for us. It's not what we did. It's what he did for us. And there's more. Verse 5. "Having predestinated us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us" what? "Accepted in the beloved." I like being accepted, don't you? You know, when you're a young person, you're in school and you got friends, it's good to be what? Accepted, right? Your family. Well, God has accepted you just like you are. You are holy and without blame. We are to come boldly, and we are accepted in the beloved. Let's go to chapter 2, please. Chapter 2. And we'll start in verse 4. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are" what? "Saved." It says God is rich in mercy, great love, even when we were dead in what? Sins. People, God's already taken care of the sin problem, hasn't he? Even when you were dead in sins, which is, you know, before the new birth, even before we were dead in sins, it says that he quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are what? Saved. So when I come to that throne of grace, I don't bring anything there, do I? What do I bring? Well, I read the Bible this morning, God. How do you like that? What do we bring? What is there to bring? You know what I bring? I bring what he's given me. I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings, right? I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm holy and without blame. See? And I'm to come boldly before the throne of grace. See, for way too long, Christianity as a whole, and at times some of us as well, we've got baggage when we go before God. And that's one reason why our prayers don't get answered. It's because we got conditions. He doesn't. We're the ones putting the conditions. See, there are none. You are holy without blame. You're accepted. See, look what else he did. Verse 6. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, sometimes I'm like you. You know, I'll read scriptures and I'll go, yeah, seated in the heavenlies, that's cool. You kind of move on past it. But to be seated in the Bible means to have a position of authority. That's what it means. This isn't a figure of speech. Oh, it's kind of like we're in heaven with Jesus. No, it's not what it means. We are seated together in Christ. All of us. Individually and collectively, we are seated in Christ with that authority. We've been given authority of the right hand of God. You know, in a lot of ways, when you pray, you're really not looking up, you're looking over. Unless you don't want to claim your authority. Unless you want to think something less than this. See, but we don't. We've been given authority. We're seated in the heavenlies. I know we're here in San Diego, and I'm liking that. I told Barney, I threatened him, I said, I think we're going to come here every summer for a couple weeks, you know, maybe a couple months. Yeah, in Houston, some people make comments that it's humid there, you know. It is. We call it the air you can wear. We measure the heat of the day by how many showers you have to take. You know, there's two shower day weather and there's three shower day weather. And yeah, I heard someone describe it once. It's like someone had sprayed soda pop all over you, you know, kind of like that sticky thing. But that's only about 1 month out of the year. In May, it's beautiful. So we'll talk more about that later, because we're having a great event there next summer. We'd sure love to have you come. But I totally lost my place, but that's okay. He's raised us up. He made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We have the authority. You know, my teacher, Dr. Werwell, when he taught Ephesians to our group of leaders, when he read Ephesians 1:3 about blessed with all spiritual blessings, his comment of teaching was to us, when will our minds ever receive it? When will our hearts ever believe it? And really, before you here today, to encourage all of us to do that, to get our hearts around spiritually who God's made us to be and the proper relationship we have with Him. The proper relationship. When will our minds ever receive it? When will our hearts ever believe it, that we are holy and without blame before God? That by His grace, He's made us accepted in the Beloved. That's who we are. Nothing you do can ever change that. That's what He did. That's what He's made us to be. And we've been raised together, made sit together in heavenly places. Look at verse 7. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. See, it's not just now. You know, I'm having a pretty good time, aren't you? This is pretty good. I like it. You know, we get to believe God, get to fellowship with the greatest people in the world, do all these wonderful things. But in His Word, God says, that's not the only thing I'm looking at. See, that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should what? Boast. See, verses 8 and 9 really say the same thing about three different ways. By grace you're saved. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. It's not of works, lest any man should what? Boast. And that's why I said, and I say to you again, that when we come to the throne of grace, we bring nothing. Absolutely nothing. Of works? What work would I do that would improve my standing of being holy and without blame? What would I do, see, to make me more accepted in the Beloved? Read the Bible, That's not going to make me more accepted in the beloved. I am already. And God's will is written. Written. Come boldly. You're seated in the heavenly. It's His will. It's the truth. And that is how God intends for us to relate to Him, isn't it? That's how God intends for us to relate to Him. The household of faith. Verse 10. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Blessed with all spiritual blessings, that's a good workmanship, isn't it? Accepted in the beloved, pretty good workmanship. See? Seated in the heavenlies, pretty good workmanship. You'd have to put a check next to that box, wouldn't you? Really great workmanship. That's who we are. That's who God has made you to be. That is the firm foundation of your relationship with God, and it's also the firm foundation of your relationship with one another. See? Chapter 3. Please. And we'll start in verse 9. And to make all men see what is the fellowship, some of the text read administration, of the mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to His eternal purpose, which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. These things we've been reading are God's eternal purpose that He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 12 says, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the what? By the faith of Him. I think there comes a time in our lives that, I know this, that God opens the eyes of our hearts to reveal Himself to us through the Scriptures, manifestations, other things, that God just opens that up to you. See? We have complete access to God as a Father with no stipulations at all. Well, I guess I shouldn't say that there is one stipulation. Come boldly. We're to come boldly. And it says that we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of Him. Would you hold your finger here and go to 1 John, please? We'll come back to Ephesians 3. 1 John chapter 5. And we're going to start in verse 9. We receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. Verse 11. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. Verse 14. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He does what? He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we what? Desired of Him. You can go back to Ephesians 3. So we have access with confidence to God, and we know that if we ask anything according to His will, anything according to His will, He hears us, and that we know that we have those petitions that we have desired of Him. I believe that we can see God work in our lives in very great ways, don't you? And even greater. And part of that will be a result of us being able to put in our hearts what God says we are. That we are blessed. that we are holy without blame, that we are accepted, that we have all that he has to give. That's why I wanted to play that song. I really love that song. I hope you liked it a little bit. I'm running to the throne of grace, to my Father's open arms. Verse 13. Wherefore I desire that you faint not in my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. God's desire, God's will, God's truth is that we are the family of God. You know? And it said that in verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that we may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth of height, and to know the love of Christ. God desires that we might know the breadth and length and depth and height. And if I can count right, that's four dimensions, isn't it? See? That's four-dimensional. See? Because the love of God and the love of His Son for us is so big, it's so immense, that it needs four dimensions. And God's will is that you know that you know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the what? Fullness of God. We really are blessed, aren't we? We really have something. We really are somebody. We are what God's Word says we are. See? These truths of Ephesians, here they are. This is who you are, what he said. And people on the outside can deny it. That's okay. They can deny anything they want to. But I'm not going to deny it. I won't be denied. See? Verse 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that does what? You know, that verse could not appear any other place in the Bible than where it does, right there. See, I'm sure you're aware of this, but when God wrote Ephesians, had Paul write Ephesians, it was a letter. It was not a series of one-liners. It was a letter. And the way reading goes, generally, is you start at the beginning, right? And just keep reading, right? So, when we get to Ephesians 3, 20 and 21, which we'll read, God knew we'd just read it, right? We'd read about blessed with all spiritual blessings, right? We're holy without blame. Seated in the heavenlies, boldness and confidence accessed by the faith of him, the mystery, one body, no more twain of two men, but now one, enter into the Holy of Holies, all of these things. And then we get to the, know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, then you get to the culmination. Now unto him, God, who is able to do what? Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That means a lot more than getting a parking place. It does. It's a lot more. See? How God would have us to be able to walk in this world, as we heard in the manifestations, of being lights in this world, bringing the light of God to men and women. To me, that's exceeding abundantly above all I could ask or think, that I could do that. See, it's spiritual. This isn't talking about toys. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. And the only thing you could say after that is what is said, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Unto God be the glory, because he has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. We are holy and without blame before him in love. He's quickened us together, raised us up together, made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. We're no more strangers and foreigners. We're fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. We literally are the family of God. We're to come boldly unto the throne of God's grace because of his astounding love. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your peace, and thank you for your grace. Father, may we this day wrap our hearts around yours, that we are home in your heart, and that we know that we are blessed, and that we can come from this day forward very boldly unto your throne of grace. I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.